for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
Friday, July the 15th, 2022. Welcome back, everybody, to the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here, joined as always by Tyler Lochner. Tyler, we've been a little bit of a hiatus here. I was on a little vacation last weekend, so we haven't talked, but we'll be doing the Minnesota Vikings today, starting the NFC North for our team previews. But first, how was your weekend? How's Scott Fishbowl going for you? I'm only four rounds in. I feel like I'm behind everybody, but through four selections, I do like my team. How's it been going for you?
It's been going pretty well. I think I'm only through six rounds, and I had the first overall pick, so I had the third round reversal. I started with Josh Allen.
So you took Jonathan Taylor.
I took Josh Allen.
Okay. And for everybody that's not aware, this is a
Superflex
tight end premium, and it's like 1,200 teams. You're in a bunch of 12-team leagues. If you're in any way into the fantasy community or fantasy space and don't know what Scott Fishbowl is, I'm pretty surprised. But, yeah, I mean, I think like 10 quarterbacks went off the board in the first round of my draft. I went quarterback, so it's
I went quarterback too. Stafford was still there all the way at the end of the second round for me, so I wasn't planning on, you know, doing that, but he was there, so that dictated the draft and off and running with it.
Yeah, in the past I've gone like one top 12 quarterback and then I've kind of waited a bit, and it hasn't gone well for me. Like, I've had a good quarterback one, and then my quarterback two the last couple of years has been like Carson Wentz, who's been not someone that's been great for fantasy. So this year I wanted to try quarterback, and I did so with, and again, you also get a bonus for a 66% completion rate in a given game. Mm-hmm. So I went Brady and then I went Russell Wilson. And in this format, I think stacking is extremely viable, but I couldn't get Mike Evans. So I went Brady, then I went Russell Wilson, and then I went Saquon because I'm all in on Saquon. So I had to do it. And then yesterday I had my fourth selection and George Kittle is still there towards the back of the fourth round. And I debated between him and T. Higgins, but with the tight end premium, I thought Kittle was a value there. So interesting build. I don't have any receivers yet, but you know, Brady, Russell Wilson, Kittle, and Barkley's my start. So it's different than what I've done in the past, but what I've done in the past hasn't been working. So thought I'd mix it up. So you have Stafford, Allen, and then who else?
I have Stafford, Allen, Stephon Diggs.
Oh, well, you won. Stack. Great team.
Debo Samuel, DJ Moore, and Jalen Waddle.
That team is extremely fun.
So, yeah, I'm going for fun mode. Zero running backs so far, so we'll see how that turns out.
I love it. So, yeah, today we're going to do the Minnesota Vikings kicking off the NFC North. Honestly, I'm just going to preface it. Outside of the Chicago Bears, who will probably do last, I really like this division for fantasy, for real life. And it starts with this Vikings team that I'm really excited about. I've been doing the coaching and coordinator series articles. The Vikings one has been my second favorite I've done so far. The Giants passed that because hashtag Brian Daboll. But Minnesota Vikings coming in with a new regime, new coaching staff with Kevin O'Connell as the head coach, who comes from the Sean McVay offense with the Rams. He was the offensive coordinator there. Didn't really call plays because that was Sean McVay's job, but this is going to be fun, him calling plays this season. Vikings have been, you know, a run-first, defensive-minded team in the past under Mike Zimmer. So Kevin O'Connell, I mean, we've already seen Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook talk about expect the unexpected and expect a lot more passing in this offense, which is exciting when you have Kirk Cousins, who's been on the QB 11 or 12, you know, kind of range since he's been with the Vikings. And we know what Justin Jefferson's done through his first two seasons in the NFL. So, I mean, I've written about it. You can go read about it. I won't get too deep into it, but I'm excited about Kevin O'Connell's presence there. What do you think about this new look Vikings team?
I really like the Vikings for fantasy this year. They're actually, I think, one of the deepest teams, one of the most exciting teams. You know, Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook up top. And then Adam Thielen is not elite anymore, but probably still an elite touchdown scorer. Irv Smith, everyone is excited about him. KJ Osborne is a popular breakout candidate. I know we've talked about, and I've seen him trending more on Twitter. And then Kirk Cousins, who's probably the best, you know, late round quarterback you can take, streaming quarterback option out there. So love the team overall. I like the it's a fun team for fantasy. I think I end up with maybe more Vikings than any other team just through all of my underdog drafts and everything like that. I don't know if you feel the same way, but
yeah,
it's like Dallas and the Vikings seem to be the two teams that always pop up on my rosters.
Yeah, I've been on the fence between Jefferson and Cooper Kupp as wide receiver one in fantasy. Then after I did a ton of research and a ton of analysis for the Vikings article, I moved Jefferson up to wide receiver one a couple weeks ago. So like I've been drafting him second overall in a lot of drafts. If I have the 102, I'll mix in some McCaffrey, obviously. Still had some Cooper Kupp earlier in the summer, but I've been getting a lot of Justin Jefferson at second overall, which means I want to get Cousins late. And I still love getting Thielen in the middle rounds because the guy scored 10 touchdowns in his first 11 games before he got hurt last season. So, like you said, the touchdowns were still there. And I like Osborne late too. So
let's go a little out of order. We usually start with quarterback, but I want to know, I mean, okay. I feel like Justin Jefferson first overall is pretty bold. So I want to hear what changed your mind on that.
So again, first overall receiver, I still have Taylor and McCaffrey like ahead of him. And for the most of the time, but like, I like Jefferson at two a lot. Like the guy's played two seasons in the NFL. He's gone 88 for 1,407. And then last year, 108, 16, 16, and 10. Now you're thinking, okay, can he really get much better than that? Like, maybe a little bit, but like, he's been that good, and we expect Cooper Kupp to regress in a pretty significant way. Like, led the league in air yards, had 45.7% of Minnesota's air yards, the highest rate among all receivers last season. Had a near 30% target share, like, and now, like, Kevin O'Connell's there, who talked about it, like the way they use Cooper Kupp. I'm not saying he's going to have the Cooper Kupp role, but we're going to see him more lining up out of the backfield, getting free releases, and that's terrifying when you're as good as Justin Jefferson. I just think it's kind of simple for me. He's been this good in more of a run-first offense. I know the Vikings threw the ball a little bit more last season than they had, but I think, honestly, like, you can make the argument that he's the best receiver in the NFL. I think he's at that level. Like, him, Adams, and Cooper Kupp, I think, are the three definitive best receivers in football. And I'm just all in. Like, I just think this is a generational player, and the offense I'm more excited about than I have been. So I'm all in on Justin Jefferson. Like, I already told my friends in my home leagues before, like, we don't draft for another month or so, obviously, but I already told them, like, good luck getting Justin Jefferson because he will be on the majority of my teams. I'm all in. Again, he's my wide receiver one ahead of Cooper Kupp.
I like it. I mean, I don't think I could rank him ahead of Kupp, but it's bold.
I don't think you're wrong. Bold.
I mean, Kupp, he just, his role across the board is just unbelievable. But yes, sure, he is expected to regress. But yeah, I mean, Jefferson maybe has the best 2-year start by a wide receiver ever, maybe since Randy Moss, in terms of stats and production. He's unbelievable. I remember last summer there were some questions like, oh, was Justin Jefferson a fluke? Absolutely not. He got better. So totally respect that. Yeah, there's really not much else to add. If you look at every single advanced stat, Jefferson is either first or second or third.
Yeah.
What do you make of Adam Thielen, though? Because every time he's on the board, I'm like, do I really want to draft him? But I sometimes do if I already have Jefferson or if I'm planning on taking Kirk Cousins just to get the stack. But I'm not drafting him if I don't already have kind of a Viking stack going. I think his touchdowns are, the question is like, are the touchdowns sustainable, right?
Sure seems like it.
He only had 67 receptions last year, but caught 10 touchdowns. And the year before, 74 receptions, but he caught 14 touchdowns. So, and the year before that, it was a short year. He only had 30 receptions, but he caught 6 touchdowns. So I do think that Thielen, I don't want to say he's going to catch 10 touchdowns again, but his role as just like a red zone weapon has been really consistent for like a half decade now. 4 years, really three really, really strong years where that's been the case. I don't really think that's going to change. I mean, he's probably not going to catch 10 touchdowns, but for example, Jeff Ratcliffe's projections, we have him for over 7 touchdowns. And we have so we have Justin Jefferson for 7.7 and Adam Thielen for 7.1. And that's despite Jefferson being projected to see 40 more targets. So like Thielen's role in the red zone is just so deadly. I think it makes it really interesting for best ball in particular, where you don't have to pick the weeks where he's going to score a touchdown. It would It would scare me in a traditional redraft league, though.
I mean, that's fair. He was pretty touchdown dependent last season. Like he started off the season like, oh, here he goes again. Like the talking point last year was similar. It was like, oh, we're fading. A lot of people are fading Justin Jefferson or fading Adam Thielen because the touchdowns have to come down. And he starts the season with four touchdowns in the first three games, two in the first game. But like, if you look at it, the games he didn't score, 46 yards, 40 yards, 65 yards.
It's rough.
62 yards, 40 yards. Like, if you think the touchdowns are finally coming down and it's just, this is Jefferson's offense, he's going to score double digits again, Irv Smith will get in there. If you think that, don't draft Adam Thielen because the yardage has fallen off a cliff, the yards per out run, the downfield usage, like all that favors Jefferson in a huge way. But I just look at it and like, we've seen him now, 24 touchdowns over the last two seasons. Like I said, 10 through the first 11 weeks of 2021 before he got hurt. Yes, the injuries are starting to play a factor. He's missed 11 games over the past three seasons. But like back in 2020, when he was fully healthy, led all receivers in end zone targets. Like if he plays the majority of the season, he could easily be top five again in that category. Plus the volume overall in the passing offense should be increased. The Rams the last two seasons under McVay, and of course, Kevin O'Connell was there. Top 12 in neutral script pass rate, where Minnesota has been like, you look at their passing rate the last handful of seasons before Kevin O'Connell's gotten there. I mean, their pass rate's been 29th, 27th, and 18th. Like, their ceiling in passing play percentage has been 18th, whereas I think they could be 15th and maybe even slightly higher this season in this offense. So
here's where I'll slightly disagree. I don't think he can be top five in end zone targets again, and that's because Justin Jefferson is actually more of an end zone target hog than I think people really realize. Like, this just speaks to why you love Jefferson so much. Jefferson had 17 end zone targets last year in 17 games. So that's one per game. Thielen only had 8 end zone targets and he missed a few games. He played 13 games, but he still averaged closer to half.
He missed 5 games and left extremely early in week 13. So really missed like 6 games. He left like immediately against Detroit.
So he averaged about 3/4 of an end zone target per game versus Jefferson's one. Mm-hmm. And maybe Jefferson's one was bumped from, you know, the 5 weeks that Thielen missed. So I guess it's
and maybe it's I should closer. Just be lower on Thielen if I have Jefferson as my wide receiver one, because if I think Thielen's going to score 10 touchdowns again, or at least can Jefferson probably, right. I mean, it's possible like Cousins will throw 30. I mean, he's thrown 30 touchdowns in 3 of his 4 seasons in Minnesota, but like, if Thielen's getting 10, and I'm going to talk about Irv Smith, who I like, somebody's touchdown numbers have to go down. And we already saw Dalvin Cook's extremely low, which we'll talk about, which I don't expect to repeat. So maybe I should be lower on Thielen if I have Jefferson as my clear wide receiver one. It's just the yards are going to be massive for him. They've been the first two seasons.
Yeah.
But maybe it's a year where Thielen scores 7 touchdowns and not 12.
On the end zone targets, Thielen caught 7 end zone targets on 8. Or sorry, he caught 7... end zone. He caught 7 touchdowns on 8 end zone targets. Jefferson caught 7 touchdowns on 17 end zone targets. So right. Thielen's efficiency on those was just like off the wall. So maybe his touchdowns will regress simply because he won't catch basically 100% of them for touchdowns.
So where Thielen's going in drafts right now, I'm pulling up the ADP because it's an interesting range, because there's been drafts where I've had to decide, like, do I go with Thielen, who I do like, or do I look at some of the upside receivers going around him, right? Adam Thielen, currently an underdog, is being drafted as a wide receiver 32, right next to Amari Cooper, who's fallen with the uncertainty in Cleveland, right next to Elijah Moore, Russell Gage, Devonta Smith, Drake London. Do you prefer all those receivers over Thielen?
So I think that's kind of what I was saying with it depends on the rest of my roster. Like if I'm going with the Viking stack, I'll take Thielen to get with it. But straight up, I would prefer I can't remember all the players you just mentioned, but Elijah Moore. I would draft Amari Cooper. I would probably draft Russell Gage over him too. Devonta I don't know. Smith. Devonta Smith might be a toss up. Just because I love AJ Brown so much. Drake London, also probably a toss-up. I just think I'm so scared of Marcus Mariota being his quarterback.
Right.
So, yeah, not my favorite wide receiver in that range. And I also think in that range is when, like, AJ Dillon is being drafted and I draft him in like almost every draft. I also think DeAndre Hopkins is sometimes there in that range. I know he's missing a bunch of games, but I often draft him.
And you nailed it. Like Thielen's underdog ADP is like 68 overall. AJ Dillon's a 67. So
yeah.
And also like Elijah Mitchell goes right around there. Tony Pollard goes a little bit after. So, and yeah, I talked about it a million times, but the receivers that go after that in that next tier, Kadarius Toney, Chase Claypool, a lot of those receivers I love. So I think it's a good call. Like in best ball, Thielen, like the yardage has come way down. So maybe he is more of a best ball candidate because he'll have a couple 2-touchdown games. But like we've seen a lot last season where he doesn't score. It's like 45 yards. Let's talk about KJ Osborne, who I think is a very interesting sleeper. Like, again, I don't think there's a player in this offense I don't like for fantasy. Like, seriously. I tweeted it yesterday, looking at the advanced deep passing numbers or deep receiving numbers from FTN. Jamar Chase and Tyler Lockett led the NFL, respectively, first and second in deep receiving touchdowns last season. There were three or four players tied for third with four deep touchdown receptions, and one of them was KJ Osborne with four. Like, he's a better player than people realize. He filled in pretty well for Adam Thielen last season. The game Thielen was out, Osborne averaged right around 12 PPR points per game. And I wrote about it in the Vikings article, but there's going to be a lot more three wide receiver sets this season with Kevin O'Connell now in Minnesota. Last season, they really didn't have a ton of three wide sets, which like we saw a lot of two tight end sets the years prior when they had Irv Smith and Kyle Rudolph. They ran a lot more two tight end sets. Last year, they only had Conklin because Rudolph was with the Giants and Irv Smith was out for the season. But in 2020, the Vikings went three wide 47% of the time, well below the league average of 61%. But the Rams, however, were over the 80% mark last season. So will the Vikings get to that level? I'm not sure, but I think they'll be pretty comfortably ahead of the 47% mark, which should lead to more snaps and more consistent snaps from KJ Osborne.
Dude, I know that I can't say we hyped him up, but I know we talked about KJ Osborne a long time ago on a podcast. We both said we really liked him. And then recently on Twitter, I've started to see him trend. And it, you know, if you were listening to the podcast, you probably got in a little early on Osborne. I totally love him.
So you like him probably where he's going, where Thielen's going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I'm drafting a lot of KJ Osborne. On deep targets, he had 9 deep targets, which is pretty good for a role player. I know he had 90 total targets, so maybe he's
actually
not a role
really
player.
Good for a player that's not like a full-time player.
But he's not like a full-time player, right. But most impressive, he caught 7 of those, and he had 4 deep targets. He had 4 touchdowns on deep targets last year, which actually led the Vikings. Yep. Justin Jefferson had 3. So 4 touchdowns on deep targets. The only players who had more were Jamar Chase and Tyler Lockett. So like Osborne, if you're looking at that, the other players he's around, DK Metcalf also had 4 and Van Jefferson had 4. So the players that he's around, maybe excluding Van Jefferson, Chase, Lockett, Metcalf have been really good, solid fantasy players. Lockett obviously has always been a great deep threat. Not saying Osborne is going to be Tyler Lockett in terms of a deep threat, but if you like the Vikings offense, if you're taking Kirk Cousins as your late quarterback, Osborne, I'm drafting him a lot because he's an incredibly cheap way to get that stack. And I really like him in best ball for these deep targets. And it kind of coincides with the fact that I think Thielen
exactly
is dropping. Okay. That means someone's probably going to have to rise.
Like if you're out on Adam Thielen, you should be 100% in on KJ Osborne.
Yeah.
Because like I mentioned, in more of a run first offense last season, the game Thielen was out, Osborne averaged 5.5 targets, about 44 receiving yards, but he also averaged almost a touchdown per game, like 11.3 PPR points per game. And you have to think, like, if he plays any amount of games with Thielen inactive this season, he's going to have a larger role because the offense will be more pass heavy and he'll be in a better system for production. So, yeah, like...
Yeah, Osborne had 7 end zone targets. Thielen had 8. I know Thielen missed time. But
right, but 7, like, again, 7 is good. A decent amount for a player that hasn't been a full-time player. So, I don't know what I'm going to do because apparently I like every single player from this team. I really do.
Me too.
But I'm starting to get, like, higher on Osborne, which means maybe I should move Thielen down a little bit because I'm not moving off Jefferson as wide receiver 1. I'm all in. But I think it's a perfect point. Like if you're out on Thielen or you think he's going to get hurt or just, you know, I mean, he's 32 years old. So, like, if you're out on him for the age or injury concerns, you should definitely be in on KJ Osborne without question.
Yeah, Osborne's touchdowns per game without Thielen last year, he scored 0.3 touchdowns per game with Thielen and 0.75 per game without Thielen. So pretty big, you know, it almost doubled there.
I guess we'll finish off the pass catchers and we'll go to the running backs and, of course, Kirk Cousins. But Irv Smith, I mean, I've talked about him for over a year now. The same way I felt about him going into the 2021 season is pretty much the same way I feel about him going into this season, except I like the offense more. Got to remember, weeks 14 through 17 of 2020, Kyle Rudolph was inactive for Minnesota. During that span, Irv Smith, tight end 4 in fantasy, right around 13 fantasy points per game, second among all tight ends in end zone targets, and he ran around on nearly 89% of Minnesota's dropbacks. Tyler Conklin's gone. They have nothing at tight end after Irv Smith. Better offense. Also, don't sleep on offensive coordinator Wes Phillips, who, again, is he going to call many plays with O'Connell there? Probably not, but he's been a tight end coach for 4 different teams, Washington, Dallas, and then the Rams twice. I guess 3 different teams, the Rams twice. So 4 different stints with 3 different teams. He was with Jordan Reed in 2015 as the Washington's tight end coach when Jordan Reed enjoyed a career-high 87 catches for 952 yards and 11 touchdowns. Is Irv Smith going to do that? No, probably not. But he was with Jordan Reed. He was with Jason Witten, and he was with Tyler Higbee last season, who didn't have a great fantasy season, but the usage is what we want. He was 9th among all tight ends in routes run, and he played around 82% of snaps. With a player as talented as Irv Smith and an offense I like, if he's top 10 in routes run and playing 80%+ of the snaps, yeah, I'm going to be excited about Irv Smith.
Smith had a really good, I think it was like a month-long stretch, 4 or 5 games at the end of 2020 before he got hurt. I don't know if that was the window you were just sharing those stats from, or were you sharing from a wider range?
Yeah, it was weeks 14 through 17 in 2020 when Rudolph was out. So
yeah, it was really impressive. And, you know, he was a top 5 fantasy tight end in that span, was running, was in on like 90% of the passing snaps. Again, he's another player that if you think Thielen is like the wild card here. He's like the door to unlock Irv Smith and KJ Osborne. It's just a question of how much of a blocker will he be. If Thielen sees reduced end zone targets, Irv Smith will see some of them. KJ Osborne will see some of them. Irv Smith is super cheap. He's almost free in fantasy drafts. He's actually a little more expensive than I wish he was. So he's not like entirely free. It's not like you can just get him in the last round every single draft. Like, you do actually have to think about it to draft him before somebody else does. So he's another tricky one, because with the emergence of Justin Jefferson, you got to remember in 2020 was Jefferson's first year, but Thielen was hurt at the end of that year too, but KJ Osborne was not there. And Justin Jefferson, I would, you know, would say has gotten significantly more important in the offense, even just since his rookie year. So I'm not as in on Irv Smith as I was heading into last year. And I think that's just because I really think KJ Osborne is going to have a bigger role. We just talked about him and how much I love him. But it's not to say that I don't like Irv Smith. The only reason I'm not drafting a lot of him is because I'm drafting a lot of KJ Osborne. And I will draft Irv if I get, you know, Osborne and Kirk Cousins. Then I'll get Irv and I'll get like the cheapest Vikings stack imaginable. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about him too. I'm also drafting Alexander Mattison. I just looked, I have 41% Alexander Mattison. So maybe that's a little too much, but I don't care. I really don't.
I might have to just move Kirk Cousins up, because, like, I love Jefferson. I love Osborne. I love Irv. I really like Thielen still. Like, maybe he's just going to have a monster season, and it's possible. Let's go right into Kirk Cousins, who, again, I mentioned it, but he's been right in that, like, borderline top 10 range since joining the Minnesota Vikings, right? You look at his numbers from a fantasy perspective since joining the Vikings. QB 13, QB 18, QB 11, QB 11. So he's been right on the precipice of QB 10. The floor has been good. At least 30 touchdowns in 3 of the 4 seasons. 4,200 yards in 3 of the 4 seasons. The downside has been he does nothing on the ground. But again, like, he's been really good. Look at the numbers he had last season. among quarterbacks with at least 100 dropbacks. He was 6th in deep completion rate. He had the league's 8th highest red zone completion rate. He's been top 10 in passing yards in 6 of the past 7 seasons. Top 10 in passing touchdowns in 5 straight seasons. And now you have a pass-heavy offense. Kevin O'Connell also has a lot of history with Kirk Cousins. They were together in Washington where Kirk Cousins, I believe, was the QB6 in fantasy in one of those seasons with Kevin O'Connell. So the Vikings knew what they were doing bringing in Kevin O'Connell. Like, he's gotten the best out of Kirk Cousins before, and that was in an offense that wasn't even close to as talented as this Minnesota offense. So I'll admit, like, I did an article for the Fantasy Crossroads series a couple weeks ago where I debated Cousins and Derek Carr, and I believe my decision was Carr. It's so close for me, and, like, after writing of this Vikings article, like, I might go back to Kirk Cousins. Like, I think he is an elite quarterback too, but, like, in situations where I miss out on, like, the top 7, 8, 9 quarterbacks, I'm fine with starting Cousins every week, or if you want to play the upside game with Trey Lance or somebody, Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback to pair him with. What do you think of Cousins in this offense? Again, hate to sound like a broken record, but again, another player from Minnesota that I definitely like in fantasy this season.
Yeah, Cousins, Kirk Cousins is so good. I've drafted him the last couple of years. I think that this year he's more expensive than he has been in the past, but he's still, you know, cheap enough that it's like a no-brainer if you wait on quarterback. Cousins is like, I like drafting him more than Carr. I know Carr now has Davante Adams, but Cousins has been doing it. He's been doing it for the last couple of years. Like, I just think Cousins is better.
What it's going to come down to is touchdowns, because Carr's touchdown rate has been awful, but you add Davante Adams, who's been obviously an elite touchdown scorer. Like, that's going to be the difference for me. If Carr's touchdown rate goes up, which it should, he'll have a chance of scoring like 35 touchdowns, but, like, so does Cousins.
To me, it's like, okay, if I'm deciding between Cousins and Carr, okay, yeah, Derek Carr just got Davante Adams, but Kirk Cousins already has Justin Jefferson. Right. And then outside of Davante Adams, there's Darren Waller, who's fantastic, but the Vikings have Adam Thielen, who's a great red zone weapon, KJ Osborne, who we really like, and then they have Dalvin Cook coming out of the backfield. So,
who's apparently lining up in the slot more than,
I know,
again.
I've heard that too. We'll talk about that soon.
I don't know how sticky that is, but he said, expect the unexpected for them this offense, which
I love it.
Yeah.
So Cousins had 9 weeks as a top 12 quarterback last year. That was over, it was 56% of his games. He had one other week where he, I think, finishes the QB 13. He scored over 25 points in week 1. Which apparently was not enough to be a top 12 quarterback that week. I guess quarterbacks just went crazy. One thing that is really interesting about Kirk Cousins is he's been better than his expectation for 3 straight years. And so by that, I mean his actual fantasy points have exceeded his expected fantasy points in 3 straight years. He's been top 10 in fantasy points over expectation at the quarterback position, 2019, 2020, and 2021. He was 3rd last year in fantasy points over expectation. Usually that is a statistic that you would point at and be like, oh, he's due for regression. But if you look at fantasy points and fantasy points over expectation, what they usually do is separate good players from not good players, because the expectation baseline is for, you know, what would an average quarterback be expected to do given the same opportunities? And so to score above expectation basically just means you're performing better than average. And so if a player that was not proven had a higher fantasy points over expectation, then you might be like, oh, they're due for some bad games. But when Cousins has done it for 3 straight years, that indicates that he's actually pretty sticky in terms of scoring more points.
Cousins is good, man. Like,
he is. He really
gets
a
lot of hate because of the contract and him not performing in playoff games and primetime games and stuff. But like Cousins is, he's probably like, I don't know, the 11th, 10th best quarterback in the NFL. Like, I'd put him in that range, probably like closer to 11 or 12. But like, that's a good player. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the league. That's a good player.
It's really good for fantasy. Honestly, it is. He excuse me, he scored over 25 fantasy points in 8 games last year. He only had one game over 30, so you are getting rid of the enormous ceiling, at least being consistently hit. But 25, 27, 28, 32, 23, 22, 28, 25, like, you're going to be winning fantasy football games if your quarterback is scoring 20 to 25
points. Cousins, to me, is like a guaranteed lock to finish somewhere between QB 8 and 12.
He is. 100%.
He's not going to get up to the top five because he's just not going to give you the weekly upside with, you know, the combination of passing and running. But
between, he's also not going to have a bad floor.
Right. Like, his floor is extremely high. He's shown that. Again, QB 13, QB 18, QB 11, QB 11 since joining the Vikings. Also missed a game last season, I believe, too. So, like, Cousins to me is, like, if I didn't go quarterback heavy in SFB, like, he was my number one target at quarterback if I didn't go quarterback. And he's a perfect quarterback to have as your QB2, or, like, if I go into a draft where I just completely fall asleep at the wheel at quarterback and I have to draft one, like, I am totally fine starting Cousins on a weekly basis. Do I have the same upside as some of the league starting Josh Allen and – or team starting Josh Allen and Herbert and Mahomes and Lamar? Of course not. But my floor is pretty strong with Kirk Cousins, who I think is obviously a perfect fit for this offense, has a history with Kevin O'Connell, has an elite receiver in Justin Jefferson, Thielen, Osborne is a great trio, plus Irv Smith. Like, Cousins to me, again, if he's outside the 8 to 12 range, I'd be pretty surprised. Anything else on Cousins?
No, just like you said, if you don't draft quarterback early, Cousins should probably be your top option.
Cousins or Dak? I'm just kidding.
I'll go Dak there, but
I know you love Dak. All right, let's go to the backfield. Dalvin Cook was kind of a disappointment last season. It was really strange. It was kind of the same season for him, right? Great on a per carry basis, almost 1,200 rushing yards. Missed a couple games like he normally does, but is not, quote, injury prone because, A, that's overrated. It's not real in terms of running backs. And, B, he doesn't miss as many games as you think. Name me a running back that doesn't miss a couple games a season. Like, I know Jonathan Taylor didn't last season, but, like, odds are a running back's going to miss 2 or 3 games most seasons. It's just going to happen. But what really came down to it was touchdowns. Like, only 6 rushing touchdowns or 6 overall touchdowns last season. He had 12 rushing attempts from inside the 5 last year, but he only scored 3 times.
Yep.
Like, the touchdown rate fell off a cliff compared to what it was in 2020. I'm expecting more regression to the mean, and if that happens, Dalvin Cook's going to be back to a borderline top 5 running back, and there's a lot of drafts where he's going outside the top, you know, 8 to 10 selections in the first round, which is really interesting because I love the offense. And he's also coming off a career low 3.7 targets per game. Like, if that goes back up with him playing in the slot more and running more routes, then, I mean, who knows? Dalvin Cook could be the RB1 in fantasy. I wouldn't be shocked. Like, probably going to be McCaffrey if he's healthy or Jonathan Taylor. But, like, we've seen Dalvin Cook be as elite as it comes, and the touchdowns have to go back up.
Yeah, I think you absolutely hit the nail on the head with Cook and what the issue was. It was 100% his touchdown rate. So you mentioned his rushes from inside the 5. I pulled the same stat. He had 15 goal line carries. This is from the FTN Red Zone Report tool. He only had 3 touchdowns on those goal line carries. And, you know, for some context for how that compares to his peers, Joe Mixon also had 15, but he scored 7 touchdowns. Leonard Fournette had 14, 6 touchdowns. Zeke, 14, 7 touchdowns. Austin Eckler, 16, 9 touchdowns. Damien Harris, 16, 9 touchdowns. So you could make the case that Cook missed out on, like, between 4 to 6 touchdowns just from poor regression. Mm-hmm. And I don't have the math in front of me, but that would be, what would that be? An extra either 16 to 30 fantasy points. I don't know where that would bump him on the overall rankings, but yeah, that's 100% why Cook felt like a disappointment last year. And then, not that we expect Cook to be heavily utilized as a wide receiver, but one of the things that we do like about Cook is that he can catch passes, and he has the occasional game with a few receptions and 60 yards. You know, it's what separates him as an elite fantasy running back. In terms of red zone targets last year, though, he only had 2. And I know Cook is, again, we're not expecting him to have that many more than 2, but Antonio Gibson had 9, Leonard Fournette had 17, Zeke had 15, David Montgomery even had 10. So, like, Cook missed out on significant receptions, potentially receiving touchdowns as well. So yes, if he, first of all, there's all this talk about him maybe lining up more in the slot, or I don't know if that's true. I kind of have a hard time believing that. Maybe it's just like, maybe it's more receptions though. I don't really care where he lines up as long as he gets some more receptions. Mm-hmm. He's definitely a threat for the top overall, to be the top overall scorer at running back. I think it would, again, if Christian McCaffrey plays every single game, I just don't think there's like any chance that any running back comes close to him. But Cook has the skill set. He could see positive regression with the touchdowns. He probably will see positive regression with the touchdowns. I will be writing an article in August. I think I'll be writing it of players who are expected to score more touchdowns this year. It would shock me if Cook was not number one on the running back list.
I mean, he might be the feature of that article.
He might be, yeah.
You look at, there were so many times last season too where Cook was either tackled at the one or had a touchdown called back because he was ruled down. So yeah, I'm expecting, you know, the touchdowns to come way up. And like, I just think that the offense is going to be, they're probably going to add a different running scheme too. But for me, like, I wonder how many targets he gets, because the Rams, since Todd Gurley's been, you know, out of the NFL and, you know, since he's been away from the Rams, they haven't really hyper targeted the running backs. But again, they haven't had Todd Gurley. They've had, you know, really the end of Cam Akers' rookie season and then a little bit down the stretch, barely in the playoffs. Darrell Henderson, who's not really, an all around running back and a great pass catcher. And then they had Sony Michel. So maybe we see an uptick in targets to the running back in this offense with a player of Dalvin Cook's caliber. Where do you have him ranked at running back?
Let me pull that up so I give the right number. But while I pull that up, I will say, Cook, I'm telling you, it was just the touchdowns that were the problem last year. Because if you look at some other advanced stats, he was still really elite. So, for example, we have the explosive run rate. Cook had 19 explosive runs. These are runs that go for at least 15 yards. That was second in the NFL behind only Jonathan Taylor. But if you look at the percentage of runs that went for at least 15 yards, Cook actually broke off a long run more than Jonathan Taylor last year at a higher rate. He did it every on 7.6% of his attempts. Taylor was at 6.9%. So like the advanced stats still pop for Cook. He just needs to score more touchdowns. I currently have Cook as my RB6, but I honestly could rank him anywhere from third to sixth.
Yeah, I really could. I have Taylor, McCaffrey, Eckler, Henry, and I might have Cook after that.
Yeah, I have Eckler, Najee, Henry, and Cook, but maybe I probably have Eckler pretty firmly third. Mm-hmm. So Cook. I could easily move Cook ahead of Harris and Henry. I don't really like to me, I just had to put those guys in some order. I see Harris getting more receiving work, and then I see Henry, like, I'm scared to rank Henry too low. But yeah, Cook is still an elite fantasy RB1, obviously.
You talked about Alexander Mattison earlier, how you've drafted him a ton this offseason. So look, I think it's pretty cut and dry. When Alexander Mattison starts games, he's not a top 12 running back. He's like a top 6 running back. So talk about why you love Mattison. It is a new regime, and they did add some running backs. But like, still, like, if Dalvin Cook misses any time, which he's probably going to miss 2 to 3 games, Alexander Mattison becomes, you know, a candidate to be the RB1 in a given week. Like, he's been that good and gets that much opportunity when Dalvin Cook's out.
Yeah, so I actually have it in front of me from the FTN Fantasy Splits tool. Over the last 2 years, there has been 6 games without Dalvin Cook. In those games, Alexander Mattison has averaged 80 rushing yards, a half a rushing touchdown per game, 4 receptions, 36 receiving yards, a third of a receiving touchdown per game, 21 PPR points per game, 24 touches per game. So just like elite, elite, elite usage. To me, I know he's expensive, but he's like by far my favorite zero RB candidate. Like maybe Tony Pollard too, but even Tony Pollard goes a few rounds ahead of Alexander Mattison. So it's sometimes hard to totally pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, the only problem is he has zero standalone value. Like he
zero standalone value.
You can't even remotely think about starting him if Dalvin Cook's active. But whereas Pollard and Dillon and Ramondre Stevenson and Daryl Henderson maybe and Melvin Gordon, like a lot of other running backs will be players that you can put in your flex pretty comfortably regardless of the status of Zeke or Javonte Williams or Aaron Jones. That's the only thing with Madison. That's why he does go after those running backs. But like if you told me right now that he was starting a game, I would rank him top seven pretty comfortably.
Yep. Yep, 100%. And in games that Cook has missed, Madison has been fantasy RB4, RB6, RB7, RB8. So you're getting really elite production, over 20 fantasy points in four of those six missed games. So I just really like drafting him in best ball. I love chasing upside. And to me, a player that could instantly become a top five running back overnight is a player that I will chase. So it's kind of like the anti-Christian McCaffrey take for me. Like I'm completely not scared of McCaffrey getting hurt. I guess I am scared of it, but I just don't care. That's like not risk aversion that I'm willing to take. But on the flip side, I am willing to take a player like Madison whose upside is complete. It's like the reverse, right? Like McCaffrey's upside goes completely kaput.
I would be more afraid of McCaffrey not getting hurt. Because then if you faded them, you are screwed.
Oh, well, I'm not scared of that, dude. I'm drafting him right. In every single time he's on the board. But yeah. But
just in general, like if your mindset is he gets hurt every season, I'm not dealing with it. And then you realize he's playing 16 games and he's scoring
500 fantasy points.
22 fantasy points a game. You're like, oh, I probably shouldn't. Like, that's why I don't want to go off a tangent because we're pretty much done with the Vikings. But like, that's why it's tough now to just be like, this player gets hurt a little bit. I'm not like, that's what happened with Debo last year. Like players are hurt and miss games and are injury prone until they're not. It was Keenan Allen, which was a joke in his beginning of his career because he had fluke injuries. It was Debo last year. Like if it's a player that's like, you know, an average player, okay, that's one thing. But like, these are like the elite of the elite players that we're worried about with injuries. But like, if that all of a sudden doesn't happen, like you faded one of the best players in all of football. So yeah, I mean, and Dalvin Cook, like I don't think by any stretch is he injury prone. He misses like two or three games a season. He's played at least 13 or so, and I think in almost every season he's been in the NFL. Like for a running back, that's perfectly reasonable and perfectly fine. So Cook to me is a top five running back at the moment. Madison is probably the best backup running back in the NFL for fantasy. Again, I'm not really counting Pollard, Gordon, or Dillon because I don't view them as backups. I view them as like kind of 1B running backs. So like, yeah, Madison, you know you're going to get elite production if Dalvin Cook misses any games, especially if they play the Lions, because anytime he plays the Lions, Madison is the number one running back on the week. I don't know what it is, but he just destroys the Detroit Lions. The Vikings, though, man, like, what Go don't Vikings, we like?
Apparently.
What don't we like? How are the Lions supposed to go to the Super Bowl if we love the Vikings? It's a huge question mark.
Dude, you're never going to let me live down my Lions love, apparently.
I'm not, but it's also because I'm like, oh, man, the Lions are on Hard Knocks too, which ADP bump for Amon-Ra, ADP bump for DeAndre Swift. That'll be fun. And we'll get to the Lions shortly on the NFC North team previews, but that'll do it for the Vikings. We'll probably do the Packers next, and that'll be next week. Followed by the Lions and the Chicago Bears, who
that'll be like a 5-minute episode.
Yeah, what was the one we did that was? Oh, it was I forget which team it was, but
really short. Yeah.
Oh, Seattle.
Which team was? Yeah,
Seattle.
Yeah.
The Bears will be shorter than Seattle. I'll probably just give that away now. But in terms of content at FTN Fantasy, again, I'm doing the coaching coordinator articles. They have been so fun. I'm getting lost in them. Like I just lose track of time. They're so fun. The Atlanta Falcons, if you're listening today on Friday, that's already been posted. The Falcons are up. Over the weekend, the New York Jets will be up, and I'll just keep going and keep going. We're also doing a second-year scouting report series where a bunch of writers from FTN are, you know, highlighting a rookie from last season, kind of how their rookie season went, what went right, what went wrong for fantasy. So I just did Kyle Pitts the other day. I believe you're doing some, if I'm not mistaken.
Then yeah, I'll be jumping in on some of those for sure.
Yeah, then we also have, we're continuing the sleepers, busts, and bets articles. Like, there's just so much content right now, and it's exciting. What do you have going on FTN Fantasy over the next couple of days?
Yeah, right now I'm working on a series of players that do better when underdogs versus players who do better when favored. So it's kind of starting to mix in some of the Vegas betting lines into your fantasy football decision making. Some of the players are really interesting. So for example, my wide receiver articles published this week, and T. Higgins did better when the Vikings were, or sorry, when the Bengals were favored. But Jamar Chase went nuclear when the Bengals were underdogs. So I thought it was a little interesting to see, okay, you know, when the game might be in hand, T. Higgins is a bigger part of the offense. But when the Bengals really need to win or really need to air it out, the ball is going to Jamar Chase. So
I think that makes sense, too, when you think about it, because Chase is getting the downfield targets. And when you're trailing in games, you're more aggressive. And but I tweeted this yesterday, a little bit surprising. T. Higgins averaged 7.8 targets per game last season. Jamar Chase was 7.5. So T. Higgins actually averaged more targets per game than Jamar Chase.
Dude, Higgins is so good. He's expensive, though. He's priced like he's good.
I don't care. I love him.
Oh,
so
I'm
much.
Still drafting him. Yeah. I just he's not like super under the radar.
For the running back one, I don't know if you started the app. I'm gonna assume Josh Jacobs or Antonio Gibson are in that article. Jacobs has always been like when the team is ahead, good things. But when they're behind, same with Gibson. Be interested to see when that comes out. If it, I don't believe it's out, the running back one, right? I saw receiver one.
I did do the running back one, so you can go check that one out.
Okay,
as well.
Perfect. So hopefully everybody has a great weekend. Follow Tyler on the Twitter machine at Lochner NFL. You can follow myself at AFIFER24. We'll be, again, ton of content. Training camp starts very soon. I was going to try to get up to Bills training camp at the end of July. Already sold out, which I used to go to Bills training camp every single year when I was younger. But that was when the Bills were a 6-win team every year. And now they're regarded as the best team in football. So a little bit different atmosphere, a little bit different vibe. So I missed out on that. But, you know, training camps are so exciting. I've been rewatching like every season of Hard Knocks. So I am ready. And I hope you are too. Get signed up at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets today. This has been the Vikings Preview, FTN Datacast, presented by the FTN Network. Have a great weekend. We will see you guys on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the FTN Datacast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at AFIFER24 and at LochnerNFL.